time is 2:07. Currently overcast skies. Temperature of 35 degrees. Wind chill factor of 27 at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. I am Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up on the program in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by the executive director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and Grand Theater, Sean Wright, talk about a lot of great activities going on at the Grand. Some great shows coming up. Had some great shows in the last week or so. Talk about that and a whole bunch more with Sean Wright coming up at 2:15. Then at 2:50 today, we're going to talk about Drug Take Back Day. That is coming this Saturday. And we'll get some words from an Aspirus Pharmacy resident about Drug Take Back Day and why it's important. Why it's important to make sure that you properly dispose of any drugs or medication that you aren't using so they don't get into the wrong hands. So we'll get some information on that coming up at 2:50 here on the program. Boy, what a dreary day out there. I went out to lunch a little bit earlier, and it had been snowing this morning, so there was a thick, it was almost like, how would you call it? Not yogurt, but but I mean, it was a thick snow I had to get rid of off the car. It stopped snowing. It's going to, you know, melt away. We're going to get significant rain tomorrow. But at the same time, it is the 19th of April. April 19th, and we're still dealing with this stuff. Ah, come on. It's time to get spring. Time to get out on the golf course. Time to play some tennis. Hard to do that. We had that great week last week, but other than that, we have been just under normal almost the entirety of this month, except for that Monday through Saturday span, which it was beautiful last week. We're going to find out how wet it's going to get tomorrow, because we're expecting, I think, a drencher. It's going to warm up a little tomorrow, but a drencher for central Wisconsin. We'll talk to Ray Miller a little bit later on in the program. He'll be joining us as he does each weekday at 3:06. A complete look at the forecast as we head towards the weekend. Also, a quick note again that we continue to be through flood warnings. Yep, with all this snow, all the rain, the melting, and then the snow coming back, we have been in a flood warning condition for well over a week now. The flood warning continues for the Wisconsin River below Wausau, affecting Marathon County. Also, the Wisconsin River below Stevens Point, affecting Portage County. As I've mentioned before, and I'll keep mentioning until, you know, this flood warning stuff goes away, do not try to plow through flooded roadways, especially when you don't know how deep it is. Sometimes they say, oh, it's not going to be that deep. Well, sometimes it is that deep. So make sure that you don't go through flooded roadways, because most drownings occur encountering flooded roads in these conditions. Most flood deaths occur in vehicles. Please report observed flooding to local emergency services or law enforcement, and they and request that they pass this information to the National Weather Service when you can do so safely. So, again, flood warning, Wisconsin River below Wausau affecting Marathon County, Wisconsin River below Stevens Point affecting Portage County. What a sad story. Two youngsters from Merrill. The Oneida County Sheriff's Office confirmed the two bodies found Monday in a forest near Enterprise are Merrill teenagers Aiden Griefy and Dakota Brown. The discovery came as law enforcement agencies were searching for Griefy, who was 17, and Brown, 16. The two teenagers were reported as being last seen together around 9 a.m. Sunday morning near State 17 and Shingle Mill Road. Just sad. It's just a sad, sad story. Exposure played a factor in their deaths. The teens were not properly dressed for the weather, and no other information has been put out at this point. So, again, it was just there was a story where people were looking for these two teenagers, and you just hate to see this story end this way. And also another search going on. Another person has been missing for quite a while, an older person in this case. Police in multiple jurisdictions are searching for a Weston woman who disappeared under what officials describe as suspicious circumstances, according to a Marathon County Sheriff's Department release issued today. An investigation began yesterday when sheriff's deputies went to the Weston home of 47-year-old Tara Jane Sullivan in an attempt to return a cell phone that was found in Ringle. Sullivan was not home, but deputies issued an attempt to locate bulletin to surrounding law enforcement agencies based on what they discovered at the residence. Police have not specified the nature of these discoveries. Tuesday afternoon, off-duty officers of the Wausau Police Department were traveling on Highway 29 in Shawano County and saw Sullivan's unoccupied vehicle parked on the side of a road. A search led by the Shawano County Sheriff's Office has been initiated in the area along Highway 29 between Wittenberg and Shawano. Investigators are asking anyone who knows Sullivan or has had contact with her in the past 2 weeks to call the Marathon County Sheriff's Office at 715-261-1200 and then press option 5. Sullivan is approximately 5 feet 7 inches tall, 128 pounds, and has green eyes. So, again, just a couple of tough stories. Two teenagers and now another missing 47-year-old from Weston. We're going to take a quick break and come right back here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chat Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXU. I just took a peek out the window. I saw a vehicle pulling in. I believe Sean Wright is just arriving here at our studios, and we'll talk to Sean, the Performing Arts Foundation and Grand Theater Executive Director, about some great shows coming up at the Grand in just a few moments. Again, overcast skies, temperature of 35 degrees here in Wausau. Another kind of dreary day, but we're trying to brighten things up between now and 4 o'clock. And there the man is himself, Sean Wright, joining us again here on this Wednesday. You are the master of timing.
I do what I can.
I tell you, better to be safe than sorry. Again, I have to deal with any kind of... It's the 19th of April. I thought 2 weeks ago when we talked... No more. Last week, beautiful.
Yeah.
We weren't here last week.
Absolutely.
But back again. But again, thanks for popping on over.
Yeah, definitely.
Lots going on at the Grand. But one thing I kind of saw yesterday, I wanted to kind of bring up about Volunteer Week. And you talked about the volunteers at the Grand. Number one, you can talk about what they provide. But also number two, if there are folks out there that would like to be involved in some way at the Grand, it would be, I'm sure, a lot of fun, great people, be around some terrific shows and all that. How do people get involved as a volunteer at the Grand?
Yeah, absolutely. We have amazing volunteers, well over 150 volunteers. And yeah, they mean so much to our organization. They truly are the lifeblood of our organization. And yes, we're always looking for new people to join us. And, you know, yeah, you have the opportunity to be around some fantastic shows, great bunch of fellow volunteers, and just enjoy, you know, the magic that is the Grand when our doors are open. So we do trainings throughout the year, and probably the easiest way, all the information is on our website at grandtheater.org, and you can jump on there. And we always do a big event to kind of wrap up the season and kick off the new season here in June. So that's a perfect time for volunteers to come in and get a little sense of the fun and what's to come.
You've had some really good stuff recently, and I know we're going to talk about what's coming up, which is great as well, but the Rush concert, I know, was big. Even this, again, what the Grand provides this week, hosting Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, just great stuff.
Yeah, Monday night was a great night to finally have Michael J. Fox in Wausau, you know, a year and a half after that show was announced. And yeah, just one of those nights that restores your faith in humanity a little bit.
The comments were great. I was looking at some comments from people that went to that show, and it just sounds like it was incredibly moving.
It was. And, you know, he has an incredible perspective on life and hasn't lost his sense of humor about it all as well. So it was really a fantastic night. And yeah, it's a very busy stretch. And, you know, whether it's, the Rush Tribute Project, or whether it's, Michael J. Fox, or, you know, coming up on Friday night, the country legend Lori Morgan will be at the Grand. I mean, yeah, it's that's kind of us in a nutshell. We offer something for just about everybody in a given stretch.
I'm going to poke the bear because... I got to ask. Yeah. Art Garfunkel's not coming.
Art Garfunkel is not coming.
I know I shouldn't ask, but I find it almost humorous in a way, because it just reminds me of the stories I've heard about how sometimes Paul Simon would just be pulling his hair out dealing with Art Garfunkel. And I think you're kind of like Paul Simon in this situation.
Yes. you know, and I feel like Art Garfunkel's agent feels the same way. You know, we were obviously we've been trying to reschedule this show for a couple of years. Art hadn't felt comfortable going back out on the road touring. Completely understandable. Right. You know, he's 82 years old. But at this point, he had said to his management, like, okay, it's time, let's get this. And so there were four shows that were all makeups from 2020 that he was going to do first, and then they had another dozen shows lined up, you know, into June and beyond. And the 1st of April came, and he just sort of said,
yeah, I'm not ready to do this right now.
Not ready. Let's check back with me in a couple of months. And you know, at that point, we made the decision that, well, this was...
Art, don't call us, we'll call you.
Correct.
but it's just you know, you hear stories about sometimes the as brilliant as some of these folks are, they can be difficult. And yet there are some people that are just brilliant that are just incredibly easy to work
Absolutely.
With, I'm sure you found.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and that's that's just kind of the business we're in.
Right,
and
right.
That you,
and I'm not trying to be tough on Artie,
no,
it's just one of those stories where I know in talking to you over the last month or so, it's like walking a tight wire, seeing if they're going to get across.
Very much so, yeah. You know, I'm glad there was a net that caught me as I fell. It's just kind of the reality of the touring business is such that, sometimes you come into things with the best of intentions, and some shows happen and some don't, and, you know, and particularly for all kinds of reasons, good, bad, and otherwise. And, you know, we're obviously disappointed that the show wasn't able to happen. We'd really hoped to deliver it to people, but, you know, but you move on and get ready for the next show. That's kind of the way the world works.
That's another chapter in your upcoming book, right?
Yes.
Again, we're talking to Sean Wright, the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. You do have some, between today and the next time we talk in 2 weeks, I was looking at some of the shows. I mean, you got some big stuff coming up in the next 2 weeks, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Starting
with Lori Morgan on Friday night, obviously, you know, country royalty, youngest member ever inducted into the Grand Ole Opry, and, you know, been doing it for a number of years, and so, yes, she'll be here. We have fewer than 100 tickets left for that show, so you can still get tickets, but they are getting limited, and then, obviously, Monday night, the legendary Cheap Trick at the Grand, and we are down to just very, very limited tickets for that one. That'll be a fun night.
Are the walls ready for Cheap Trick?
I think the walls are ready for Cheap Trick. Yes, we will see. That's but it's great to have them, and you know, really excited about that. And then we turn right around on Tuesday night with Ben Mulwana.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about him. It sounds like a really interesting artist.
Really interesting artist. Really great sound out of the Milwaukee area. And it's the last show of our 10x10 series for the year, and we actually will announce four of the shows for next season. So we always announce the first four, and then we add three more as it goes. So we announce next year's 10x10 season, and that kind of kicks off the next season announcements, which is really exciting. And and then follow up a week from Friday, yesterday and today, the interactive tribute to the Beatles. This is, you know, everybody's seen a Beatles tribute. What makes this one unique is the audience actually fills out cards in the, you know, for us in the Great Hall before the show. What song do you want to hear and why? And then they go through them about 15 minutes before the show and sort of put a set list together based on, you know, the best stories that are there and how songs fit. And there's two brothers, Ryan and Billy McGuigan, they front this band. They have learned basically every Beatles song in the catalog. They actually said that they like when they get challenged by by somebody who puts on a card, you know, song X, because I bet you don't know it. They're like, that often makes it into the set
list. Exactly.
Because right they're like, and now we're going to play, whether you actually like it or not, you told us you didn't think we know it, and we do. So, but really a cool, cool experience.
That's got a vibe of a Who's Line vibe, you know,
where
the show kind of is based on the communication between the audience and the performers.
And as I said, you've never seen the show before. The show's different every night, and as I said, they have some fun with it. They have things like that, but then they have people also share real heartwarming, you know, things. Oh, this is my, you know, my dad who introduced me to the Beatles. This was our song when I was growing up. And, you know, just all these, you know, we danced to this at my wedding, things like that. And so a really just talented band and a true sort of, you know, as they put it, they have a true love affection for the Beatles. And so that, you know, they're not in costumes or not in that. It's just about the music. And so it'll be a fun night.
Isn't that, again, an example of just the variety that within the performing arts, that things that you may not even kind of think about how different angles, and then you in terms of putting together a schedule, able to put something out there that is just different. Yeah. And yet it's something that is very familiar, but put in a different box in a way that leads to, you know, just being able to open up the audience, open up the performers. And that's one of the great things, again, about performing arts, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I look at that show in particular, and I think that, you know, it's the type of show that, you know, people are going to come, and probably a lot of people have just looked and seen, a Beatles tribute experience. Great, I love the Beatles. But then they're going to come and they're going to see what the show is, and they're going to be impacted a little bit differently maybe than they thought when they walked in the door, because they're going to, you know, they're going to laugh, they're going to smile, they're going to, you know, then they're going to reflect on the music and think about, like, oh, what does this, you know, boy, when did I first hear this song? Or it takes you back to a different place in your life. And so just a really, really neat thing. And it all goes back to when you have talented artists. Right. And that's the most important thing.
And it does seem like there are more of those shows that do have the interactive aspect to it nowadays. I imagine that as you, again, you hear from a lot of people, you hear about a lot of people when you're putting together all this. It does feel like the straightforward is not quite, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a straightforward performance, but it seems like there's a lot more of that kind of variety, isn't
there? Yeah, there definitely is. You know, people, you know, because I think artists are realizing that idea of, you know, it's about the experience, and part of that experience is your interaction with the audience, and sometimes that's just a, you know, from, you know, Lexington, Kentucky, on the drums. And sometimes that's actually a, you know, really interactive experience, you know, whether it's the Beatles or, you know, in just a couple of weeks, right before we'll talk again, Potted Potter, the Harry Potter experience that is interactive. You know, they're working their way through the entire Harry Potter series in 90 minutes, but there is an audience component. Apparently, there's a game of audience Quidditch. We'll see how that works in the Grand Theater. But yeah, it's that idea of trying to give the audience a sense that what they're seeing on a given night is unique. We joke that, you know, back in the day, an artist could go out on tour, a musical artist, and play the same songs every night for a 30-city tour.
Right.
Well, now everybody knows where to find set lists on Setlist.fm. Yep. And so people can literally go to the show and be like, well, I want a show that's different than Minneapolis last night. Last night in Minneapolis, Springsteen played Born to Run and Thunder Road, but he didn't play Born in the USA. I hope he plays that tonight. Because then I can say, oh, this show was different.
Exactly right.
And so things have changed a little bit.
For that Beatles experience, how are the tickets?
We've still got a decent amount of tickets left for that one. So good seats available for that one.
And again, finally, as folks are interested, whether it's getting one of those final tickets for either Cheap Trick or Lori Morgan, or looking ahead to next week where you have a few more tickets, best way to get those tickets.
Best way to get those tickets is go to grandtheater.org, where, you've got lots of shows, but not Art Garfunkel.
I tell you, the last 2 weeks since you were back, I'm thinking, I did not think it was going to happen, because this art was sounding like, you know, you can probably tell by just the communication, but I don't mean to laugh because I know it was not
easy for you.
But it's one of those entertainment stories. I mean, sometimes you just hear those, you read about them, you hear about them. The entertainment stories can sometimes be as entertaining as the show itself.
As I said today, I saw that Andrew Dice Clay was going back out on tour, of all people, and I said, seriously, we live in a world where Andrew Dice Clay is back on tour and Art Garfunkel isn't. Oh, well, that's just the touring world for you.
Sean, thanks again, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Sean Wright from The Grand. Coming up, we have a news update coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
Do you hear me? Do you care? Do you
Pat Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. And also, don't forget to download the Civic Media app. Go to the App Store, search Civic Media, download the app. Here at Bow Falls Radio, here are all the Civic Media radio stations. Have a podcast page, which has this show and all the other shows on Civic Media, plus our play-by-play of high school sports. Last night, I was over in Wisconsin Rapids as the Wausau West Warriors were able to get a game in against the Marshfield Tigers. Game that was supposed to be played in Wausau, but the field conditions did not allow it. Artificial turf, lights, great game. Went extra innings. Unfortunately, the Warriors fell 2-0 in 9. But you're home for Wausau West Marathon. Newman Catholic High School Athletics is Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Unfortunately, I think with the way the weather's looking, I would be very surprised if we have anything in terms of our high school sports coverage before the start of next week. It's going to be, again, drenched. And one of the things about it, and we'll hear about it with our meteorologist, Ray Miller, coming up in a few minutes at 3:06, is all this precipitation, which leads to the flooding, it also leads to some very wet grounds. If you have any outdoor sporting activities, if you want to be out on the golf course, you're going to be squishing around on the golf course at this point because there's so much wetness out there. And we're expecting anywhere from a quarter to a half to even a full inch of rain coming up tomorrow. So again, it's going to be, I think, a little while before things really dry out and some of those great outdoor activities that we enjoy here in central Wisconsin can really get underway. Again, weather-wise, for the rest of this afternoon, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 4 p.m., then a slight chance of showers, otherwise cloudy, and the high around the current temperature of 35 degrees. Could be gusty, though. East winds around 14 miles per hour, gusting as high as 29 miles per hour. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, low of 34. Again, east winds 11 to 16 miles per hour, gusting as high as 31 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 80%. New rainfall amounts tonight between a quarter and a half inch possible. Tomorrow, showers, possibly a thunderstorm. It will be warmer. The high will reach 52 degrees. Again, windy day. East-southeast winds, 14 to 17 miles per hour. Gusting as high as 32 miles per hour. And 90% chance of rain. I guess the good news is 10% chance it won't rain, right? And new rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half of inch possible. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear, a low of 33 degrees. And on Friday, mostly sunny, but a slight chance of showers in the afternoon and a high near 48. Again, overcast skies and 35 degrees right now in Wausau. Well, yesterday during the show, got the news about Fox News settling their defamation lawsuit with settling the defamation lawsuit, which was filed by Dominion Voting Systems due to the lies told on Fox News in the aftermath of the 2020 election. Dominion had put in a lawsuit for $1.6 trillion. They end up getting slightly less than half of that. Fox News will pay $787.5 million. It does end that lawsuit. And yesterday I was talking about it, was a bit depressed about it. Because in terms of giving some sunshine to democracy, saying that Fox News's anti-democratic statements that basically said, well, their guy lost, so they must have stole it. And they lied about it. They lied about it. They lied about it. They lied about it. And again, I was a little down about it. But I came across an article on Axios that maybe, and again, I'm not going to get optimistic about this because it feels like the one aspect that could have been a major victory would be to have Tucker Carlson, to have Sean Hannity, to have Laura Ingraham, to have Judge Jeanine, to have Jesse Waters have to apologize on the air to their viewers because they haven't talked about this. They don't even have the settlement on the front page of their website. They're just going to move on and continue to do what they do. And that's sad. I wish in addition to the $787.5 million, they would have added that on-air apology to all the folks who lied in the aftermath of the 2020 election. And you know why they settled. Because they did not want their stars on the witness stand. They did not want their executives on the witness stand. The embarrassment of getting on the witness stand, and if they tell the truth of basically saying that ratings were bigger than democracy. But the good news aspect is Fox News is not out of the woods yet when it comes to others that have filed suit because of what they said on the air. And now Fox has admitted they really don't want those on-air folks and executives on the witness stand. They are willing to pay a lot of money. And yeah, we would have liked to have seen a trial, but that still was a lot of money, nearly $800 million to make this Dominion voting system suit go away. So the others are going to say, all right, Fox, you want it to go away? You're going to have to pay a whole lot of money. Because this basically sends the message, they don't want to go to court. They don't want to go to trial. They don't want to go through the discovery again, given how much the company tried to withhold. And Fox News does face several other defamation lawsuits related to airing the 2020 election lies. They face still a $2.7 billion case, even more, $2.7 billion brought by election technology company Smartmatic. It also faces a lawsuit from former producer Abby Grossberg, who claims Fox News tried to manipulate her testimony during pretrial discovery for the Dominion case. And according to University of Tennessee journalism professor Stuart Brotman, he says, I suspect that Smartmatic and Abby Grossberg now have a good bargaining chip for their own settlements and even a sense of the magnitude of checks that Fox News is willing to write for them. Again, the thing is, if they are forced to write a big check to Smartmatic, if they're forced to write a big check to Abby Grossberg, what does that mean for democracy? Does that mean that democracy is more secure because Fox News was not able to get away with their lies? Or does it mean that they're just going to write those checks, not acknowledge on air to their listeners? Because their listeners and viewers, they watch Fox News. They listen to far-right radio. They are not hearing about this settlement. They're not hearing about what Fox News basically said in depositions that they did lie. So in the end, the people that need to hear this are not hearing it. Well, Smartmatic is still talking tough. Smartmatic lawyer Eric Connolly said, Dominion's litigation exposed some of the misconduct and damage caused by Fox's disinformation campaign. Smartmatic will expose the rest. And that's the key. We had some exposure. We need total exposure, and not only exposure, but exposure to the people that Fox News talks to on a daily basis. Fox News is still pushing the idea that it's really Donald Trump's fault. A Fox News spokesperson in this article to Axios today said, quote, there is nothing more newsworthy than covering the President of the United States and his lawyers making allegations of voter fraud. Freedom of the press is foundational to our democracy and must be protected, in addition to the damages claims being outrageous, unsupported, and not rooted in sound financial analysis. This is about the Smartmatic case. It really shows some gumption to say that after they just cut a check for $787.5 million. Dominion is not done, however, as well. Smaller lying cable networks such as Newsmax and One America News also face defamation lawsuits from Dominion, and this is good as well, as do individuals including Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, the MyPillow guy Mike Lindell, and Patrick Byrne. An attorney representing Dominion said that this is one of seven lawsuits. This one settled today. There are six left, and I think it sends a message to the other six lawsuits that accountability is coming as well. It's not over. Again, in the big picture, and the thing is, Dominion, they are not the ones that are supposed to save democracy. So it's hard to say where your lawyers are saying you could lose. I mean, yeah, you got all this evidence where Fox News basically is admitted, but there's no guarantees when you go in front of a jury. There's no guarantees that they would have been able to get nearly $800 million from a jury. So, again, you can't fault Dominion for taking the settlement. I think the one thing you can fault is not getting the actual apology. And I guess I can see where Fox is coming from, and I don't say that as any sort of protection to Fox. But if you're Fox and you have these other lawsuits still out there, it would have been very difficult to accept a apology on air from all these on-air talents. So, yeah. But it means that even though Fox understands that the court ruled it aired falsehoods, Fox is not liable for correcting any bad reporting on the air. Reuters reported Monday that Fox Corp shareholders are demanding company records that could show whether Fox Corp board directors and executives properly oversaw Fox News' coverage of election lies. Those probes could also lead to lawsuits in which board members would be directly held liable personally for settlement costs. The bottom line, according to the Axios story, and I'll read it first. What this settlement gives Fox is a chance to move beyond the endless shaming before every key constituent that matters, not just TV viewers who may or may not care, but their investors, the board, and their key executives and personnel who no doubt want to focus on future success and leave past missteps behind. The idea that all of those Fox News personalities can get away with this and not lose their jobs or lose their multi-million dollar contracts is galling. There should be a certain amount of responsibility there. Yes, Fox Corp is paying $787.5 million in this, but there's a responsibility behind a microphone. I'm sitting behind a microphone right now. There is a responsibility to be as truthful as one can be based on the information they have. And all of the depositions show that the Fox News personalities knew better. They knew what they were saying were lies. And the fact that they can keep their lies. Maria Bartiromo, who used to be a respected business reporter, lies, lies, lies all the way to this very day. She is the home of Ron Johnson and the home of Tom Tiffany and other far right liars themselves. So again, a day later, I still have that feeling of disappointment here. But in the end, Fox News has been forced to acknowledge that they did lie. You don't pay $787.5 million unless you knew that you lied. We're going to take a quick break and then come back. And we're going to talk about Drug Take Back Day coming up on Friday, on Saturday. That's coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, coming up on Saturday, this Saturday, April 22nd, it is a special day. It is Drug Take Back Day. Drug Take Back Day occurs biannually, with the first one this year falling on Saturday. Last October, the United States Drug Enforcement Administration removed over 640,000 pounds of unneeded medication from nearly 5,000 Drug Take Back Day collection sites across the United States. The DEA has removed almost 17 million pounds of unused prescription drugs and medications since the initiative began over a decade ago. According to Aspirus Health, it's a day for people to get rid of old, unused, or unwanted medications safely and conveniently. It's also a time to raise awareness and educate everybody about the risk of keeping their old medications. Too often, these medications find their way into the wrong hands, leading to drug addiction, accidental poisoning, overdose, or abuse. And to talk a little bit about this, talk a little bit about Drug Take Back Day, we are joined from Aspirus by pharmacy resident Andrea Modlin. First of all, Andrea, what is Drug Take Back Day?
So Drug Take Back Day is a nationwide campaign. It's a day for people to bring in unused or unwanted medications to various drug collection sites across America. And it's also a time to raise awareness and educate everybody about the risks of keeping their old medications.
We have heard about voting drop boxes and other drop boxes as well. What is a medical drop box?
Medical drop box is a medication collection receptacle that's located at hospitals, retail pharmacies, also outpatient centers as well. And it's just a receptacle that patients can bring unused or unwanted medications and dispose of them in a safe manner.
Are there certain types of medication that should be put in the drop boxes, or are there some that you should avoid putting in the drop boxes? Basically, in terms of what people should be thinking about bringing on Saturday, dropping into those drop boxes, anything that we should really know?
Medications you want to avoid putting in these medication drop boxes include any illegal substances, anything as far as needles or sharps, or anything that has biohazardous materials such as bodily fluids, more specifically blood.
Again, we are speaking to Andrea Modlin, who is a pharmacy resident at Aspirus Health. Also, why should people, when they're trying to either get rid of or dispose of in a safe way their medications, why should they be using a medical drop box?
People should use medication drop boxes just because it ensures that the medication that they are no longer wanting is getting put in a safe place that is out of reach of pets, children, people who may want to take their medications and either sell it or use it for themselves. It really mitigates any diversion. And then it also prevents it from getting into our environment.
When you talk about making sure it does not get into our environment and some of the other issues you talked about just a moment ago, what are the risks of disposing of medications incorrectly or improperly?
If medications are disposed of incorrectly or kept in their house for a longer time than needed, it could potentially fall into the wrong hands, whether it be young children or other family members by accident. If you throw them in the trash, it could get into the wrong hands, or it could get into our environment and potentially contaminate that.
And finally, when can folks drop off these medications?
So most sites like hospitals, like at Aspirus Health, are 24 hours. So as long as the business itself is open, that you should be able to go up to the medication receptacle and put the medications in at any time that the business is open.
Andrea Modlin, again, a pharmacy resident at Aspirus Health. Thank you very much for giving us that information. A quick note that in order to find the medication drop box near you and dispose your bag of medications, Aspirus has drop boxes located at Aspirus Wausau Hospital. So if you're here in Wausau, you can use a drop box located at Aspirus Wausau Hospital. There's also drop boxes at Aspirus Medford Hospital if you're heading in that direction. But as well, Drug Take Back Day, the first is on Saturday. But drugs don't have to be just done on Drug Take Back Day. You can also dispose of them anytime throughout the year. So again, this Saturday, the 22nd, Drug Take Back Day, which occurs biannually, the first one this year coming up on Saturday. Get rid of those old, unused, or unwanted medications safely and conveniently. Well, it has been cold. It has been wet. It has been a dreary Wednesday. Coming up, we'll have a look at the forecast. We're going to talk to our meteorologist, Ray Miller, coming up in just a few minutes, coming up after the news. We have the news coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour, Civic Media Radio News as well. And then at 3:06, we'll be talking to Ray Miller. Also coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about some controversial legislation that was advanced by the House Republicans in Iowa, our neighbors to the southwest. Iowa teens could be working longer hours and more jobs, including serving alcohol. Republicans are saying the bills would help businesses find workers in a tight labor market, but it seems like there could be some major unintended consequences involved in this legislation. And being in Iowa, could this happen in Wisconsin? Same issues are in Wisconsin in terms of tight labor market, but is this a road that we'd want to take? So going to discuss that coming up in the next hour as well. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
To me, it can happen to me.